Will you pray with me, please? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A friend of mine died this week after a long battle with cancer. And I don't know about you, but for me, grief makes me tired. I mean, it just makes me so very tired. Now, I don't want you to worry too much about me. I'm taking good care of myself. I've got a great support network of friends and colleagues. But grief just makes me tired in every way. And my sense is that I'm not the only one that feels fatigued this morning. I think by and large, we are a people that are collectively exhausted because the pandemic continues to impact every single one of us in both profound and subtle ways. And although the vaccine continues to roll out and there are glimmers of hope that things will get better soon, for the immediate future, the outlook remains grim. Just within 3 weeks, three consecutive weeks, our nation has been through an insurrection, an impeachment, and an inauguration. I was a journalism major in college. That's enough news to fill a whole year by itself. That's 3 weeks in January. There's still a whole week of January left to go. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that all of us are tired. All of us are grieving someone or something that we have loved and lost. So we're just tired. Well, it just so happens that our scripture this morning centers on a man who is bone tired himself. Some people called him Simon. Some people called him Peter. Some people called him Simon Peter. It's all the same person. Simon Peter lived in the first century in a little fishing village on the north shore of a big freshwater lake, which some people call Lake Gennesaret, and other people call the Sea of Galilee, but it's the same body of water. Simon Peter was a fisherman by trade, as were many of his friends and neighbors. Simon owned his own boat, but it wasn't a tricked-out fishing boat like we might see on Lake Hartwell or Lake Oconee, or a big commercial fishing vessel like we might see down at St. Simon's or Savannah. It was just a simple wooden boat, probably less than 20 feet in length from stem to stern. Now, every angler knows the old quip of why they call it fishing. Y'all know why they call it fishing and not catching, right? Sometimes you spend a lot of time fishing without catching anything. And that's what happened to Simon Peter on this particular day. He and his partners had spent all night fishing, but not catching. They'd caught nothing. But as every good angler knows, you take care of your equipment, whether you've caught anything or not, because your equipment takes care of you. And so even though they'd fished all night, there was still work left to do. There were nets to wash, gear to square away, a boat to secure before they could finally go home. So that's what Simon and his partners were doing there by the lakeshore. After fishing all night long and yet catching nothing, they were cleaning their nets when along came this rabbi and a huge crowd following along behind. So I invite you to listen now for a word from God from the gospel according to Luke, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, Jesus saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed to catch a fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We worked all night long. We caught nothing. That's what Simon said out loud, but I imagine in his head he might have been thinking, "Excuse me, but just who do you think you are? I've been busting my tail all night long. I'm dirty, I'm hungry, I'm ready to go in, and you're holding me up. I was kind enough to let you use my boat, even though you didn't ask. And I've had just about enough of this. Why don't you stick to teaching and let the professional stick to the fishing?" I think maybe that's what was going on in Simon's head. But maybe there was something in the look on this rabbi's face. Maybe there was a twinkle in his eyes that made Simon bite his tongue. And instead he looked at Jesus and he said, "If you say so, I will let down the nets. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." So one more time, Simon let down that net, even though up to that point it had come up empty. One more time, he pulled it taut, even though every time it had ended in failure. And one more time, he began to tug, and the rope snapped in his hands. And with all the remaining strength he could muster, he held on for dear life. Some of you are old enough to remember the phrase, "We're going to need a bigger boat." And the boat lists dangerously to one side, and Simon shouts to his partners, James and John, and they rowed their boat out and began to help, and there were so many fish that both boats, which before had been riding high in the water, completely empty, were now suddenly in very real danger of sinking because of the combined weight of all the fish. And then amid all the racket and shouting and sound of those fish flopping around on the decks, Simon Peter drops to his knees among them. He says, "Master, go away from me, for I am a sinful man." Because Simon Peter and James and John were confounded at all the fish they had taken. But Jesus did not go away. He just said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people." And when they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. My friend, maybe you're feeling like Simon this morning. Maybe you've been working so hard, giving it everything you've got, doing everything you know how to do, and maybe you're just tired, hungry, anxious, a little cranky maybe. Maybe you feel like you just want to call it a day. Pack it up, go home. And if you're ready to head to the house, you're in good company. None other than Simon Peter himself. But along comes this rabbi, and without asking, he climbs in your boat like he owns it. And he invites you into the deep water to let down the nets for a catch. And he listens patiently while you explain all of your limitations and issues and hang-ups, but he doesn't say anything, just keeps looking at you with that twinkle in his eyes, just waiting for you to finish, waiting for you to say, "But okay, okay, I will let down the nets." Sometimes, my friend, the greatest act of faith that you can muster is making that one more cast when you didn't think you had one more in you. Sometimes the greatest act of faith is doing the one thing that you really don't want to do, Sometimes the greatest act of faith isn't necessarily healing the sick or curing the lame or restoring sight to the blind. Sometimes the greatest act of faith you can muster is finding the strength to just make that one more cast. You know, it strikes me that Simon Peter was at work when Jesus showed up. When Jesus was ready to call his first disciples, he didn't head to the temple in Jerusalem and look for the brightest theology students or the people who had memorized the Torah from cover to cover. Nor did he hang around the local synagogue on the Sabbath day. No, Jesus showed up at Simon's workplace on a work day and invited him to come with him and catch people. The rabbi comes to your boat this morning. He's not looking for brilliant theology students or people who have it all figured out. He's looking for a fishing partner. He's looking for you. But what does it really look like, fishing for people? I don't know about you. I'm a little uncomfortable with the idea. Maybe there's something in my Presbyterian sensibility, the idea of hooking people by the mouth and dragging them in against their will. Maybe there's another metaphor that might be a little more helpful that gets at what Jesus is talking about here, about fishing for people. Yesterday morning, we had a memorial service in this room for a woman in our congregation who spent much of her adult life as an educator, as a teacher. And as I thought about Jill and the impact that she had on so many people in her young life, I was reminded about a story about another teacher who died of cancer at a young age. Jill taught fourth grade. This particular woman taught third grade. But she made enormous efforts to get to know the kindergartners and the first graders and the second graders in her school. I mean, she took pains to get to know these kids' names, to learn their likes and dislikes, to get to know them as people, as individuals. And her school principal one time observed this effort that this woman was going to and said, and wanted to know why she was spending so much time investing in these kids who weren't even her responsibility, and in some cases wouldn't be for a couple years, in some cases may never be her responsibility. And the teacher simply replied, "I'm making deposits. I'm making deposits." When she took that time with those kids who weren't even her responsibility, she was making an investment. And there might not even be an immediate return on that investment. In fact, you might say that her net kept coming up empty, cast after cast, but she kept at it. She kept making deposits in those kids, kept casting even when she was tired and ready to go home. Maybe fishing for people is like that. Maybe fishing for people is like making deposits in relationships, deposits in people, even when there's no obvious and immediate return on our investment. Maybe making deposits looks like delivering Meals on Wheels on Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day and New Year's Day, so that the regular route drivers can enjoy a holiday with their families. It has no obvious benefit to us, but we do it because we're followers of Christ who make deposits in people. Maybe fishing for people looks like writing letters and making phone calls to those in power in our state and in our nation, even when it feels like a waste of time and ink. We do it because we're followers of Christ who are making deposits in people. Maybe fishing for people looks like investing our time and energy in people who aren't even our responsibility, who have no money or power to do anything for us, but we do it anyway because we're followers of Christ who make deposits in people. Maybe it looks like this. Maybe fishing for people is prayer. Praying for that person in our life who makes us the most crazy. You know who I'm talking about. You can see their face in your mind's eye right now, can't you? The one who drives us up a wall, The one who advocates at the top of his or her lungs that which we would spend our lifetime railing against. Maybe it looks like prayer. Not that they would trip over their own face and fall down, but praying that God would grant them everything we want in our own life. Peace and security and prosperity, a sense of goodwill. We do it not because we want to, or because it necessarily generates a return on that investment. We do it because we're followers of Christ who are called to make deposits in people. Sometimes fishing involves an awful lot of empty nets. Sometimes it involves lots of days when there's no obvious or immediate return. But we keep casting those lines. We keep cleaning that gear. We keep the boat in working order because the rabbi says, don't be afraid. I know you're limited. I know you're tired. I know all of your hang-ups. I know sometimes you feel like you're failing. But I'm sitting here in your boat. I'm sitting here in your office. I'm sitting here in your classroom. I'm sitting here in your house. And I'm calling you to put out into the deep water once again to let down your nets. Master, we're so tired. Master, we've been at it for so long. Yet if you say so, we will let down our nets. Yet if you say so, we will dig deep and make one more cast. Yet if you say so, Lord, we'll drop everything and follow you. Thanks be to God. Amen.